Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. It's so wonderful to be back with you with Nothing But the Truth with your host, Pastor Katie Pierce, and the Truth Deliverance Ministry. I was just elated at coming on tonight and just talking about a subject matter that I felt really, really is prevalent in today's time and today's society. And I'm anxious to start this show with you. We're going to open with a word of prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O God. We come, O Lord God, thanking you, O Lord God, for this Advent season, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for this time, O Lord God, of showing love, of showing forgiveness, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for this time, O Lord God, when your son was born, O Lord God, to us, the people, O Father God, that we might have a right to receive eternal life, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for his obedience to be born in the earth, O Lord God, just to die for our sins, O Lord God. We don't take this matter lightly, O Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, O Lord God. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask now that you would open our ears, O Lord God, to receive something on today, O God, that would make us better in our walk with you, Father. We pray now in the name of Jesus that you would prick our hearts, O Lord God, that we would see things a little more differently during this Advent season, O Lord God. And we just thank you even now in the name of Jesus that you would order our steps, O Lord God, that we would do the things in the earth that are pleasing in your sight. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Well, I, as you all may or may not know, I am a very, very transparent person, and I don't say that because it's the popular thing to say. You hear some people saying, oh, I believe in being transparent, and then they hold their cards close to their chest so that nobody can see their hands. Well, that's not me. When I say I'm transparent, I am very, very transparent. I grew up in a house of 12 children. And oftentimes it was better to tell on yourself than to have my mom have to reprimand everybody or punish everybody just to ensure she had got the right person. So I'm one of those people who will tell on myself. Amen. Okay. And on this afternoon, or on this evening, rather, I wanted to talk to you about, because I was posed with a question a couple of Sundays ago at church, and the question was, did we want to have a Christmas Day service? As you know, Christmas Day is going to fall on a Sunday. Yay! Or not. Christmas Day is going to fall on a Sunday, and I have my son and grandchildren are coming in from out of town and a lot of cooking to do. And so when the question was posed as to whether or not we wanted to have service on Sunday, I was quiet. And I began to, in my own mind, try to figure out what time I would have to get up to start dinner, to have it prepared in order for me to be at church and get back home and have dinner. And all of these things were like racing through my mind. And in the midst of my thinking about it, my apostle said, this is Christ's birthday, and so we're going to have a birthday party for Jesus. Well, in my sitting there and in my listening, I was immediately quickened by the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, really, you needed to sit here and contemplate as to whether or not you wanted to come to church on Christmas. Because it's a Sunday. And as I began to think about that, and I wonder how many people are in the same boat I'm in. Maybe you've already decided that you're not going to go to church on Sunday, Christmas Day, because of all of the things you have to do, or you just want to sit at home and enjoy family. And that's a good thing. It is. It really is. It's a good thing. But is it the God thing? And that's a question that's been posed to me a lot. Every good thing is not necessarily a God thing. And so I began to look at that, and I went and began to look at it and wondered how does this affect us in the church today? And in my looking it up and researching it, I came across an article with Hartford Institute for Religion Research, and it talks about how do you celebrate Christmas. This article actually is written from December 2005, but it's the information, I'm sure, while it may have adjusted somewhat, it still gives us a significance or gives us a base as to where most Christians are when we talk about celebrating Christmas on a Sunday. And it says, when Christmas falls on a Sunday, it presents a problem for nearly every Protestant congregation, no matter what the size, shape, or denomination affiliation. After talking with official researchers of several of the country's major denominations, it is absolutely clear that when Christmas and Sunday service coincide, it is the Sunday service that loses. Attendance is always minimal on a Christmas Sunday, and this is a radical alteration to the reality of December's attendance for congregations of these denominations. December, or the Advent season, is often marked by higher than an average attendance, with the Sunday around Christmas occasionally being the second highest attendance of the year next to Easter, when it does not fall on a Sunday. And I thought that this was really, really interesting, that there's a decline in going to church on Sundays. There's a decline in going to church on Sunday when Christmas falls on a Sunday. Now, after I just kind of began to think about that and contemplate it a little bit, I began to say, okay, this day is set aside for us, those of us who celebrate Christmas. Had it fall on a weekday or any something of that nature, we would have, it's a national holiday, we would be released from work so that we can celebrate Christmas in the way that we see fit, or the way that, you know, we've come to know it, so to speak. Okay, so Christians celebrating Christmas for the reason of the fact that Christ came and was born into the world by a virgin. We believe this, that Jesus was born through a virgin only to die for our sins. Now, we're not going to cross hairs about, was he really born in December? Was he was really born in April? And the logistics of all of that, we're not going to look at it from that aspect. Let's just look at it from the aspect that this is a day that has been set aside for Christians. Can I just put it like that? Christians to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate Christmas. Okay? And on that day, when it falls on a Sunday, which is, we've designated as our worship day, you would think the churches would be flooded. In the same article, it talked about how they had looked at nine mega churches. They looked at nine mega churches. They focused on them and their decision as to whether or not they would be holding Christmas services when it fell on a Sunday. Most of them canceled service, and those who didn't cancel service, they condensed service, if you will. They shortened their services on the day that Christ was born. And I'm sorry. And I, like I said, I fell under serious conviction. I fell under serious conviction when I was contemplating as to whether or not I should go to church on a Sunday, the day that the world, or the day that the United States, and it's not just even the United States, people across the world will be celebrating Christmas. Now, given the fact that Christmas has become different thing, or it means different things to different people, okay, I understand all of that. I'm not slow on that aspect. But for Christians, our reason for celebrating Christmas is the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came into the world through a virgin, in order to fulfill the promise of the Father that through one man the world could be reconciled with God. Come on. Oh, my God, I got happy just thinking about it. Okay, that's the reason. That's the reason for the season. You remember the little cliche that we used to say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Okay, and we've forgotten it. We've forgotten it. We've forgotten the reason for the season. I was even thinking about how during Christmas holiday or, you know, right after Thanksgiving, people would start saying, you know, Merry Christmas, and now we have to be politically correct. And I'm not downing that. Now we have to be politically correct and say Happy Holidays. I remember the big to-do when people wanted to shorten Christmas and they started wanting to write Xmas. And those who are Christians, we threw a hissy because we did not want to take Christ out of Christmas, and yet we've taken Christ out of Christmas. We may be writing the word Christmas, but are we living Christmas? Are we really acknowledging Christmas the way Abba Father would have us to acknowledge Christmas? It says all but five of these congregations have services on Sunday morning, and this also means that almost one-fifth were not having service on Sunday morning. Every one of these were reducing their service, their offerings that day. If they had two or three services, they were instead holding just one service, combining them. And as I, just looking at that, my God, my God, my God, under such repentance. As I began to look at that, I have to begin to search my heart, my own heart. What is the status of my own heart concerning Christmas? Concerning the reason for this season. Remember, Christmas was supposed to be a time of giving. It was supposed to be a time of giving to those who are less fortunate. How much have I given to those who are less fortunate? Or are we in the mindset of just getting bigger and better gifts ourselves, or exchanging bigger and better gifts with our family? You know, where is our mindset during this Christmas season? Often services were going to focus primarily on singing hymns with a very brief service, again, a shortened service. Almost none of them were holding Sunday evening services. Okay, so even if it was church who had three and four services on a Sunday, and we have those now, especially in mega churches, they said that they were only going to condition and have one service. Now, I'm not saying that all of this is a bad thing, but I am saying that we have to begin to look at where is our mindset concerning Christmas and what are we doing? The other thing, and this was amongst Protestants, the thing that I found also interesting, that when it said that when they looked at Catholic and Orthodox churches, they experienced the exact opposite. Isn't that interesting? Catholics had to add masses on Sundays. To hold the attendees. The pattern for them was that they do go. Even if it falls on Sunday, Catholic researchers I talked to expected attendance at Mass on Christmas to be from one-third higher to twice the usual number, given that it is a holy day of obligation. It is inconceivable not to have Mass on Christmas. The religious celebration of Christmas places the Mass at the center of the holiday, no matter what day of the week. Extra worship services are frequently added for Christmas Eve as well as on Christmas Day. Something to look at and something to contemplate. And again, it goes to the matter of the heart. Like, where is my heart? Where is the love? And the thing of it that God began to say was, you know, you don't want to give time for me on that day, and yet you would call me Lord. and yet you would call me Lord. And so I looked up the word Lord in the Bible dictionary. Hold on for me for a second. And it denotes a master, as of slaves or a ruler of subjects. So have I made Christ Lord according to my actions? Is Christ really Lord of my life? You know, when you talk about someone being a slave, they don't have a say-so in what's going on. And so this being a day of the birth of Christ, this being the day of the birth of my Lord, whom I have characterized, of whom I'm calling my Lord, this being his day, what is it that I need to shuffle? What is it that I need to move around? What is it that I need to do in order to make this a day, a celebratory day for my Lord? And so I don't know where you are. I don't know what your mindset or what your thinking is, but this is something that we really, really begin to look at. We really need to begin to contemplate, amen, and take it into consideration. It says something about Jerry Falwell and others are saying this holiday, Christmas season, is somewhat true. Competing forces are encroaching on the meaning of Christmas. The holiday is taking on other meanings, other significances. Certainly the retail marketeers hope so. Multiple meanings of Christmas and compatible, uncontested, as long as they don't meet head to head. But when they coincide on a Sunday, it spells disaster for the religious significance of the day. And so just, you know, again, looking at our mindset for Christmas, looking at what our society has depicted, looking at how we steered away from, you know, I remember even just talking about church on Sunday. There was a time when I was growing up, if you didn't go to church on a Sunday, you couldn't do anything else. Sunday was often the day when we would go to the movies. Of course, the movies at that time was about 15 cents to get into the movies. Mm-hmm, I'm telling my age. But if you didn't go to church, don't ask mom for any money because you couldn't go anyplace else. Church was necessary. Church was necessary. Now, am I saying that going to church makes you holy? Am I saying that going to church is some kind of way, you know, going to eradicate or is going to, how can I say it, look past sin? That's not what I'm saying. Going to church is not a substitute. That's it. Going to church is not a substitute for living a holy life. Don't want to get that twisted. Going to church is not a substitute for living a holy life. However, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I believe, forget not to assemble yourselves together. It's so important that we come together in one place, and they being in one place of one mind on one accord, then the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty mushroom rushing wind. And so there is a significance, there is a place, there is an importance to our congregating together on a Sunday, and I'm just trying to say that should be consistent. That should be consistent throughout, even if that day falls on, or Christmas falls on a Sunday. And even like, you know, we can talk about other holidays that fall on a Sunday and how there's a decline in worship service when the 4th of July falls on a Sunday, and, you know, how many people decide to stay home and barbecue on that day, you know, and it takes from worship, you know what I'm saying? So let's remember, let's put the Christ back in Christmas, and I'm not talking about just writing the word, I'm talking about putting the Christ back in Christmas, in that our lives is indicative of the fact that we say Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm trying to go now and see who we have who've called in and joined in with me. I wanted to see if there's any feedback. Hello? wanted to see if there was any feedback from those who were on the line as far as what you see it as, what you're looking at when you're talking about Christmas. But until then, until we can open up those lines, I just kind of wanted to revisit some of the meanings of Christmas. Like, you know, what is it that you do? What was customary for your family to do on Christmas Day? I also pulled up another article that talked about five things to do on Christmas. But there was another one. Hold on for me. Give me a second. I'm coming. I promise you. I am coming. And it says, we'll get to that in a minute, 10 things Christians shouldn't do at Christmas. I was just singing the song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," and it's a time when we look to gathering friends, and we have smiles, we're anticipating, you know, unwrapping those gifts, and all of these play a part to the Christmas season. So the real point here for Christmas is to celebrate Christ, you know, is to celebrate Christ. One of the things that we shouldn't celebrate is commercialism or consumerism, you know, just buying things. We understand that, you know, I was sharing with somebody that for Thanksgiving, they used to at one point, it was all about Thanksgiving. It was all about giving thanks to America and those around. We focused on Thanksgiving, thanking God for what he has done. And now on Thanksgiving, it is compounded with Christmas as well, or the consumer of Christmas, in that you got the stores that are opening late on Thanksgiving so that after you eat your turkey, you can rush off to the store and try to get some of those deals that they have to start your Christmas shopping. And that's when they made it into commercialism, you know, trying to get those sales up. And that's the thing we have to really be sensitive to, because this can become problematic. You know, sitting down, the camaraderie with the family, giving thanks to God for the blessings that he's bestowed upon you, and not just rushing off and getting so caught up in the commercial part of Christmas. Don't forget about those who are without food. You know, it was a time when, you know, how many people have been taking canned goods and giving them to the neighborhood, to the food depository, so that those who are less fortunate than you, or those who are out of doors. I was just sharing with a young man today when we were riding home, the way that I catch the train, I'm on Laura Wacker. And it seemed like that there are more homeless people down there now than before. I was looking like, wow, all the years that I've been walking that path, going to work, I've never seen so many homeless people. I was just in awe, like, wow, what is really going on? What is really going on? And so we have to understand and know that there are a lot of people who are less fortunate than we are, and we want to share. We want to put Christ back in it so that we can begin to share. Those who are incarcerated, you know, they have Angel Tree, and there are so many things that we can do to assist them. Remember others at this time of the year. And again, here's don't forget about those who are without shelter. When we think about Christ, and there was no room at the inn, one of the key things that we have to begin to remember is those who are outdoors, those who have no shelter, and what is it that we can do in assisting them. Miss the message about resisting abusive power. Mary and Joseph and their family had to flee from homeland because King Herod strong-handedly used his power to squash out what he saw as a threat to his power. One, in the house where Jesus grew up, the narrative was that he had to flee Egypt, and of the senseless death imposed on other families by powerful. So when powerful people. When we start talking about the misuse of power, we have to focus on abuse that those around had to go through because Jesus was being born and Herod wanted to ensure that he got the right people. Let's do what we need to do to help those who are going through abusive situations. Reach out to shelters. Reach out to those, you know, who are facilities for those who are being abused, rescue centers. What can you do to aid and assist? Can you, let me see, can you begin to volunteer at a call center? Or what is it that you can do to help during this time? So let's just remember some of the things that we can do to share, some of the things that we can do for those who are less fortunate. So we don't want to forget about those who are without presence. We don't want to insist that our religious celebration rules over everything. And that's why I was trying to pull it in and not just focus on what I do for Christmas or saying that my way is the right way to celebrate Christmas. But as a Christian, this is what I do to celebrate. And so we want to be mindful of that. Amen. We want to be mindful of that when we begin to look at what we need to do to ensure that we're celebrating it in a way that's going to bring glory and honor to God for Christmas. Let's not make this religious holiday, let's not make this holiday where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born, let's not make it into a secular holiday. Let's not, you know, celebrate it the way the world celebrates it, but let's celebrate it that the way that it, again, will bring glory and honor. Amen. So we want to make sure that we understand, because we understand that not only is there a war on Christmas, there's a war on Christianity. There's a war on the church. Come on, somebody. And so as we begin to look at that and understand that, we want to make sure and ensure that we are doing it the way that God, we want to put the light back on it. On somebody. We want to put the light back on the focus of Jesus Christ and his being born. Amen. Him coming into the world to die for our sins. And so as we begin to just kind of look at that, we want to help people. The scripture says in Matthew 25, 34 through 40, Jesus tells us that we are to give food to those who are hungry, give clothes to people who need them, to provide shelter for people who have none, to visit people who are sick and give comfort to people who are in prison. And so we want to definitely help people out. We just recently, through our AEN, which is the Apostolic Ecumenical Network, had a drive for savers where people went through their closets and they pulled out the gently used items and we brought them and we donated them so that somebody who is less fortunate or who doesn't have can have some clothes and things that they need. One of the other things that Christians can do, we can treat others as you would have them to treat you. Again, I was talking about going into Laura Wacker. And one of the things that Apostle Shanette brought out in the class 1 year, and I can't even remember what the subject of the class was, but she talked about it, asked how many people, when you come upon somebody or less fortunate, somebody who you view as a derelict or somebody who you view as maybe smelly or whatever the case may be, how many of you cross the street so that you don't have to interact with that person? And it begins to question it. And then she asked a question, and yet you want a shadow's anointing. I'm all for it. I pray all the time, God, give me a shadow's anointing that will heal, that will bring deliverance. And she brought out, how dare you, you know, cross the street when you're asking God for a shadow's anointing that may bring healing, deliverance, or whatever breakthrough for that person. And so now I make a point of passing people. I make a point of speaking to people. I make a point of saying something to those who are less fortunate, to those others who pass by and look at them as though they're not anything. So we have to begin to understand that. This is also, the Christmas season is also a time when it's high in depression. suicide and things of that nature. Again, because we've gotten so caught up in the commercialism of Christmas, when we've got so caught up in the gift giving, amen, that we don't even appreciate the gift that was given. Oh my God, that'll preach right there. We've gotten so caught up in the gift giving that we don't stop to appreciate the gift that was given. And so this is a season where we don't want to worry. We don't want to start getting so caught up in the gift giving that we take focus off of, and we begin to worry because we can't give the way we want to. We can't buy the gift that our grandchildren or children may want for Christmas. I can remember some years ago, I was going through a divorce, and it was at that time that I decided I would stop perpetuating the lie of Santa Claus. I sat my children down because I wasn't going to be able to, they weren't going to be able to have Christmas as they had come to know it because I was going through a divorce. And so I told them that there was no Santa Claus. And my daughter looked at me and was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yes, there's no Santa Claus." And because of the, you know, the pinch in our finances this year, you know, Mom is not going to be able to really give you a Christmas the way you used to, but let's love on each other. And, of course, kids at that time, they were kind of looking at me like, "What? Love on each other, really?" Just really trying to change the narrative, trying to change the way that we think. These were things that we had impressed upon them to look for material things. That's what we've been pressing upon our children during this time frame, is the material things. And we've got to get out of that and begin to get them to focus on gift-giving. Gift-giving, giving gifts, giving to those who are less fortunate, understanding that the gift, that the greatest gift that they can receive is the gift of Jesus Christ being born. And so we have to begin to understand and begin to pour into our young people, change that mindset, and in changing that mindset, they'll become adults who will change the mindset of the next generation, that we'll begin to focus on the true meaning, or go back to the true meaning of Christmas. So, reading the Bible, you know, at Christmas time, on Thanksgiving, my family and I are traditionally from my mom. This was passed down from my mom. We always would read a scripture, and we would always have to go around the table and say what we're thankful for. But I can't remember if we read a scripture or what we did for the Christmas holiday. I'm sure we did something, but it's not embedded in our minds. So I would say that this would be a good time to sit down and read the story of why Christ came to your children. Read the story of the nativity and Christ coming and the Virgin Mary, and sit down and discuss it, that this is the reason. This was the greatest gift given unto us, and begin to look at that. Amen. So read the Bible. Begin to implement that into the life of your Christmas celebration, you know, to begin to look at that, okay? And then, of course, prayer should also be something that we want to do, you know. And even begin to let your children pray, you know. Let your children, your grandchildren, say a prayer at the table or before you're eating, that so that you can begin, we can begin to bring Christ back. Again, we're trying to bring Christ back into the celebration of Christmas. The Bible says to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of you in Christ Jesus. And so we want to believe, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. We want to definitely give thanks, to be joyful. We want to pray without ceasing. And then, of course, the Lord's Prayer in the book of Matthew 6, chapter verses 9 through 13. One of the things that we have to learn, I believe I learned the Lord's Prayer when I was in the third grade. The third grade, Ms. Moore. Of course, that was a time when schools was able to teach scriptures. We were able to pray. So we had to, in Miss Moore's class, we had to memorize the 23rd Psalms. We had to memorize the Lord's Prayer. After we did those things, then we did the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? And so that's back in the day when it was okay, when it was acceptable, when it was the acceptable thing to do. As we begin to look at Christmas, as we begin to look at Christmas, let's think about forgiving our enemies, forgiving those who we haven't spoken to for months, for years, or whatever. Because remember, Christ was sent into the world to reconcile man back to God. And so let's take Christmas as a time where we reconcile some situations. Amen. That we go and tell somebody, you know, I forgive them. And let's get out of this, you know, I have a right to be angry at you, you know. I'm not gonna say anything to you until you first come and say something to me. Let's make that first step. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't wait on man to say, okay, we're going to get it right. He said, I need to do something to reconcile man unto myself, so I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send a sacrifice. Come on. So you might have to sacrifice. You might have to sacrifice your feelings. You might have to sacrifice your emotions. You might have to sacrifice who was right, who was wrong, and just get a man. Mend the situation. Amen. Mend the situation. This Christmas season, make amends with somebody. Make amends with somebody that you haven't talked to. Make amends. Forgive somebody. Even a situation or a circumstance that may have happened to you years and years ago, or it may have happened to you and the person that you are angry with for whatever the reason. You know what I'm saying? Forgive. Use this as a time to forgive. Use this as a time to learn the Word of God and to share the Word of God with somebody during this Christmas season. Let's look at those things. These are some of the things that we can do. Tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, you know, during this particular season. I'm going to start you off even with something really, really simple. Say Merry Christmas. Say Merry Christmas to somebody. You know, let's just begin to usher in the season with what we need to be doing as far as the Word of God is concerned. And I believe that that's what God will have us to do during this season and during this time. So those are some things that you can do. Now, some of the things that you could do, five things that we could do on Christmas Day, and not just the season. The other things I was talking about was the season of Christmas, the Advent season. As soon as you wake up on Christmas Day, stop and pray. Don't worry about the rest of the day just yet. Just sit and thank God for Jesus. Really, really get it. Make it personal. These are some personal things that you can do. We often jump up and we run about our day, and this is really things we need to be doing every day. But let's focus some attention Christmas Day. Let's think about, you know, just sitting and thanking God for Jesus and understanding the sacrifice. Understanding the sacrifice that was made in Jesus' coming into the earth. Amen. He left his throne in glory. Hallelujah. He left his throne in glory so that we can have a right to be reconciled with the Father. Think about and pray for those people you will meet with, that you might have an opportunity to talk about Jesus with them on Christmas Day. It's the easiest day of the year to talk about Christ. So even as the family members are joining and coming together, you know, you might want to just begin to talk about the Advent season and whatever. I mean, the Advent season in Jesus Christ. My mind is going before me. Because this year, as my granddaughters prepare to come and spend Christmas with me, they are Jehovah's Witnesses. So they're coming to spend winter break with Grandma, okay? They're coming to spend winter break with Grandma. And one of the things that God has really, really softened my heart, because I was one of those people who was very dogmatic when it came to the things of God. And I didn't leave any room for grace. I didn't leave any room for mercy. I was just dogmatic about it. And then when my grandchildren's mother decided to begin to study with Jehovah's Witnesses, I had to rethink some things. And so even as I was sharing with my son, as they're coming, and, you know, how are we going to integrate that? Because I don't want to offend them. At the same time, I want them to understand why I do what I do. One of the things that God told me and shared with me when I was talking to them or when approaching them was to begin to come to them in question form, not an accusatory form. So I would often ask them, well, I do this, and what do you do? You know what I'm saying? So when they get here, my talk would be, you know, this is the Christmas season, and this is what we do. You know, what is it that you do? And try to come at it from an exploratory situation, that I'll explore what it is, where their faith is, what it is that they're doing, at the same time sharing my faith in God and what it is that I look to do. And so I'm anxious about it, you know, not wanting to offend them, but at the same time letting them understand that they can talk to me, not shutting them down. There was a time in my life where a Jehovah's Witness couldn't say anything to me, if I can just be honest and transparent for a few minutes. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses couldn't say anything to me. You know, it was Jesus Christ, Him crucified, resurrected, and coming again. And if you didn't believe that, we didn't have anything to say. Same thing I was, way I was with Muslims. And so now, because of this thing, again, I had to go back. I had to rethink some things. How do I minister to my granddaughters as a Christian? How do I minister to them as Jehovah's Witnesses? And so it's going to be interesting. And I hope to be able to come back and have a Blog Talk Radio program talking about, you know, when a Christian entertains a Jehovah's Witness for Christmas, or that kind of a thing. So it's going to be a challenge, but it's one that I'm sure that I'm up to. And so we want to talk to people about Jesus Christ. We want to say grace and make sure that the Christmas meal with my family, with your family and friends, is very important. Again, introducing that Thanksgiving tradition where when they're saying grace, they're also saying what they're thankful for. You know, God gave His only Son. That was the ultimate gift. What gift can you give to somebody during this Advent season? What gift can you give somebody? So you want to think about that. So some discussions that you can do is, do you think it's weird that we celebrate the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago, or did you know Jesus was probably born around 6 to 4 BC and not on the 25th of December? You know, don't get offended when people talk about Jesus not being born on December 25th. Again, not being dogmatic, learning how to listen to people and to have a conversation with them as far as what it is that you believe, listening to them, and then, you know, have you considered this, you know, looking at it from that aspect. And so as we prepare, you know, again, to this Advent season, to study and to be with family, you know, of different faiths, of you know, different beliefs, of that kind of thing, I just wanted us to think about the fact that December 25th is the day that America, that the world has set aside, the birth of Jesus Christ. Many people celebrate it in different ways. You know what I'm saying? Many people have come to know it from different perspectives. But as Christians, when we talk about being a Christian and celebrating it, let's make sure that we keep the Christ in Christmas. Let's make sure that we start implementing some things in our families and rearing up some traditions that's going to help our young people, our children, our grandchildren to understand what Christmas is all about. Let's begin to look and to talk to them about gift giving, you know, that because God gave the greatest gift of all, his son, that we too should be giving gifts to those, not just in our immediate circle, but those who are less fortunate. Let's begin to look at some of those aspects and bring some of those things in, implement some of those things into our Advent season so that God will be pleased. Amen. Amen. So I just want to thank you all for joining me on tonight's segment. I think I'm running a little short in time, but these were just some of the things that God quickened on my heart. And so as we begin to end this thing, I want to end it in a prayer. And I want you to really, really begin to go into the crevices of your mind, to really, really begin to look at, have I really given Christmas the significance that it needs? Have I really made this a holiday or a celebration of Christ? Are the things that I'm doing in preparation, am I keeping in mind the ultimate sacrifice that God gave through his son, Jesus Christ? Am I making a solemn and a holy celebration? So as you begin to look at it, as you begin to think through it, we're going to pray. But we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. And as Holy Spirit is quickening you to repent, and as he's beginning to make some changes and some adjustments in your thought life as far as Christmas is concerned, hallelujah, I pray that you will be obedient, amen, to what the Holy Spirit is leading you and what Holy Spirit is saying to you, amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just come this Advent season, oh, Lord God, we come first and foremost to thank you for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, oh, Lord God, that you saw fit, oh, Lord God, in your infinite wisdom, you saw fit, oh, Lord God, to release your Son into the earth, that he would be born of a virgin, oh, Lord God, and that even though he was God, he was also man. We thank you, oh, Lord God, that he came down, oh Lord God, to go through, to suffer, to know our infirmities, oh Lord God, that he was tempted in the same measure that we are tempted, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, that he came, oh Lord God, he came, God, with the mindset of obedience to the Father, because you so loved the world, he was obedient enough to come and sacrifice his life, oh Lord God. He sacrificed and died on the cross, God, that we might be reconciled unto you, O Lord God. So, God, we come on tonight repenting, because we understand, God, that through your Spirit we haven't given this the sincerity. We haven't looked upon it, oh Lord God, with holiness, oh Lord God. We thank you for your Son, oh Lord God. We thank you for an opportunity, oh Lord God, to share the story with others, oh Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Abba Father, Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God. We repent, oh Lord God, when we pass by those who were in need, oh Lord God, and we didn't try to reach and give a helping hand, oh Lord God. Help us, oh Lord God, to begin, oh Lord God, to reconstruct, to structure our lives, oh Lord God, that we will begin to see the needs of others around us, oh Lord God, and do what we can, oh Lord God, to meet the need. For God so loved the world that he gave. Help us, oh Lord God, that we'll love you so much for what you gave, that we'll give in return, God, oh, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we do love you. Father, we do honor you on today. Hallelujah. As we pray for those, oh God, who are less fortunate, as we pray for those, oh Lord God, on Lower Wacker Drive, oh Lord God, for whatever the reason, as we pray for places like Pacific Garden Missions, oh Lord God, that houses the homeless, oh Lord God, as we pray, oh Lord God, for those, oh God, who will be spending Christmas, oh Father God, in a shelter, for whatever the reason may be, oh Lord God, oh my Father God, as we pray, oh Lord God, for those people, for those volunteers, oh will, Lord God, who would give up some of their own time to minister to those who are in need. As we pray for those, oh Lord God, who will find themselves, oh Lord God, in orphanages, oh Lord God, waiting for a parent, oh Lord God, waiting for somebody to love them and care enough for them, oh God, to bring them into the house, God. We pray even now for that situation and those circumstances, oh Lord God. As we pray, oh Lord God, for somebody who's going through a divorce, oh God, and won't be able to give their children, oh Lord God, what society says, and finding themselves falling into depression, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, for their mindset in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We pray for children, oh Lord God, who won't be receiving gifts on this year, not because they weren't good, oh Lord God, but because of the situation of the home, oh Lord God. We pray now for them in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, the joy of the world, oh Lord God. We pray joy to the world, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to begin to share the good news, oh Lord God, to let them know, oh Lord God, that Christmas is about the greatest gift that was given, not about the greatest gift we can receive. So we pray for these different situations. We pray even now, God, for those who will find themselves in hospitals, oh Lord God, those who will find themselves institutionalized, oh Lord God. We pray for these different reasons, oh Lord God, these different circumstances, oh Lord God. We pray for those nurses and doctors who will be, oh Lord God, even on that day they'll have to be serving others, oh Lord God, for policemen, for firemen, oh Lord God, who will be serving others on that day, oh Lord God. We pray for them now too, in the name of Jesus Christ. So God, we do honor you and we do thank you. We do honor you and we do thank you for this Advent season, oh Lord God. We pray now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. We pray now in Jesus' name that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you all again so much for joining us tonight for tonight's episode of Nothing But the Truth. Amen. So where will you be Christmas Day 2016? It is my prayer and my hope that you will be giving thanks and praising God and lifting up your voice in song and just celebrating the day, celebrating the season, celebrating the greatest gift that was given in Jesus' name. Okay, until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.